Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where information is exchanged with the expectation that it is to be applied. I am your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com, as well as co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Now let's dive into a discussion that can help you help yourself. Again, this is the Family Alpha Podcast. Now let's get to work. Welcome back to another episode of the Family Alpha Podcast. Today, I'm joined by a special guest, Luca Nicoli. Luca is a man I met at the 21 convention. We followed that up with him joining the Fraternity of Excellence. We met up again at the inaugural Fraternity of Excellence meetup in Colorado, which was incredible. Since then, he's become my nutritionist, a personal trainer, and just a guy who has an incredible story. So I really wanted to bring him into the Family Alpha Podcast, get his voice out there, and share with the world, you know, who Luca Nicoli is. So Luca, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Hunter, for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So this is Luca's first podcast. It's his first guest appearance of what's going to be many, because I want to pick this man's brain. But first, let's start. So we met at the 21 convention. What is it that brought you there?
Well, I would say fitness. That was the main reason. I was looking for videos on exercise and nutrition. And I found videos on Doug McGuff. He's a very popular, he's a medical doctor, he's an expert on exercise science. So I was searching on the web. I was looking for the truth about muscle growth, nutrition, and fitness in general. So I found the Doug McGuff podcast by the 21 convention. And then I started looking at other videos. I started looking at PUA stuff and sex relationship related videos. I got into 21 convention more. I consume a lot of videos, so it became my favorite YouTube channel, to be honest with you. When I moved to Canada, I decided to attend to 21 convention in Orlando, Florida, since it was closed.
Now, were you a volunteer or an attendee?
No, so my first three conventions, I went there as an attendee. So I went to five conventions in total. My first three.
What years were those?
I think was the first one was 2015. Yeah, it was like mainly based on PUA, like self-development. It was not like a red pill convention like in the last few years. It changed a lot over time. It was a very different convention, but with 2015, I think was my first one. Yeah.
So in 2017, you were an attendee?
Yes, correct. And then I volunteered at the Patriarch Edition.
I was going to say, On the first one, I remembered like meeting you. We had a few conversations, you know, we were talking. And then the next one, like we were just working together. Like you were doing some stuff. And I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, we're just walking around. You're handling and moving on the go. But it was cool to see the familiar face. And then after that, you joined the Fraternity of Excellence. So what caused you to continue on into FOE?
So after listening to your speech, actually last October, in Orlando, I was really impressed by your speech, your presence. So I decided to sign up to your newsletter. And March comes around last year, you were promoting the 31 DTM. And I say, fuck yeah, this makes sense. I want to do it. So I decided to do the program, 31 Day to Masculinity. I would say that was a huge learning experience and like self-development experience for me. So after the 31 DTM campaign, I decided to enroll FOE, the Fraternity of Excellence. And that was May 1st. So it's not even a year that I'm part of FOE. And I would say that was one of the best decisions that I ever made for myself.
Talk about a plug. Well done. That was awesome. And I did not pay him to say that.
No, that's true, man. I'm honest.
I appreciate that. It's wild that you say it's not been a year because we've done so much. Like it feels like it's been so long, you know, but FOE's only been around since the beginning of 2017. Oh no, I'm sorry. 2018, January 1st, 2018 was our first official kickoff. You know, that's when it started. It seems like we've all been together because we've just been doing so much. We're meeting weekly. We know we've got so much going on inside our walls. So that is pretty funny to say it's just been under a year because I feel like I've known you for like 10 years.
Now, man, it's so powerful. It's such a great community of men and everyone has different expertise that you can rely on these guys, right? So it's rare to find. I would love to be like, not to be digital only, right? More meetups and more face-to-face contacts.
We're getting there. Mm-hmm. So as you're talking, you know, earlier you said you're from Canada, but the accent, it doesn't sound Canadian. So where are you coming from originally?
I was born and raised in Italy in a town called Como. Como is a very touristy place and very popular. There's a beautiful lake. It's close to Switzerland. It's close to the Alps. There's amazing food, amazing people. I highly recommend it to go. It's an awesome place to visit.
I love when people talk about where they're from, and some people, like, they just can't stand it. They're like, don't ever go here. But like, you could tell, like, when you started describing it, it's kind of like the little flashback. You're like, there's a lake, you know, we got the mountains, we got this, you know, you had mentioned good food. Have you always had a thing for food? You help people helping with their nutritional plan. I think at one point you were a chef, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but has food always been one of the, like, is that an Italian culture thing? Is it a personal preference thing? Are you one of those dudes who has like double the amount of taste buds as everybody else?
Well, okay. First of all, I would say that I start appreciating the country where I'm from, the place where I'm from, when I moved to Canada. So before, I used to hate it. So I resonate with that comment that you said. Yeah, going back to the food questions, I think that being Italian, like, food is originally part of my culture, but I've never been a excess eater of pasta or pizza or junk food.
So you've never been a fat kid?
Yeah, I was a chubby kid. Not overweight, not fat.
Got it. So you're not like one of the Mario Luigi brothers. You're like the fit Italian.
I became the fit Italian.
So that's a good, hey, you should make that a title, like an email or a post or something, that's the fit Italian. Maybe not comparing it to Canada, but I'm an American. All I know is America. You know, I've deployed twice, and that's my seeing the world, but I've never been able to sit and kind of immerse in the culture of anywhere. It was like a few days here, a few days there. What was it like growing up in Italy? Like, let's start like elementary school, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's a complex question because, I would say everything is different. Like, it's another world. Culturally wise, like, people are just different. They have a different mindset. They have a different, I would say, different values too. And also within Italy, there's such a huge diversity between region, especially north from the south. They're almost two separate countries.
See, now that is something I can, as an American, relate to.
No, it's like, maybe, I'm not sure, like, correct me if I'm wrong, saying Texas and...
Rhode Island.
Yeah, or California.
Ooh, that's even better. That was a good one. At what age did you go from Italy to Canada?
It was 2016 and I was 23 years old.
Dang. So a lot of people...
Sorry, excuse me, 26 years old.
So you're 26. Usually it's people, like, their parents move and they take them with them. So you lived up until you're an adult in Italy, and then you chose to leave.
Yeah, it's actually very common for people in Italy to live with their parents for too long.
Got it. Becoming a man, is there a well, let's go back. Did you grow up with mom, dad, brother, sister? Was it just you mom, just you dad? What was, let's say, up until middle school like?
So yeah, like, I grew up with my mom, my dad, and my sister. It was like 3 years older than me. Yeah, I actually, like, my parents were really busy working, and I have to be honest, like, I lack my dad presence. I lack of a masculine presence in my childhood. My dad himself, he lost his dad when he was 18 years old. So he had to figure out, like, a way to support his family, his mom and two sisters at 18 years old. So he's always been used to work hard and just, like, get on the paycheck and move on.
It's crazy. As young men, you know, we sometimes we'll look at our fathers or let's say our parents, our fathers or our mothers, and we make a lot of judgments on them. You know, oh, you know, for your dad, maybe he wasn't around, or somebody looks at their dad, maybe their dad's abusive. You know, like, we judge who they are, but rarely do we factor in what made them the way they are. While your dad may not have been around, you know, it's kind of like you have a sense of understanding, and a lot of people miss that. They don't understand why their dad is or why their mom is the way they are, but we don't know their whole story.
I agree. And then I can also tell you that I was very angry with my dad. Like, I used to hate my dad. I remember the feelings. Like, I was just like punching the wall. I hate my dad. But then I realized what he went through. And I also was able to forgive him and understand where it was coming from.
I think that's a sign of maturity, though. And I think that's something all men go through. Like, as you become your own man, like, trust me, I've been in the same exact shoes where I'm just, you're so mad and you're like, you're supposed to fill this role. And all of a sudden you got this freaking fire in your heart. And then you kind of, you see something and it kind of makes you step back and you're like, wow, maybe.
It took me a while to realize.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, you can't see the picture, right? So I'm trying to compare your life to mine. So as you're going up through middle school to high school, you know, let's say from the ages of 13 to 18, you know, that's when you're, you know, puberty, girls, all these things start hitting. You know, what was that like for you? Was there a clear system as to when you become a man, or is it kind of figured out on your own?
It was more the latter. I kind of figured out on my own in my late 20s, to be honest.
So you go through school, you drop out at 18. What did you do from 18 to 26 before you moved?
So I start having issues. Let's go back at age at 15 years old, right? With girls, issues with being accepted, issue with rejection. So that's when I start to go kind of downhill and just close myself into a bubble, not wanting any girls touching me anymore. So I was really isolating myself from the external world. And I started using, I started smoking. I started like following people with bad influences on me.
Yep.
And I started smoking cigarettes, and I was a rebel. I didn't want to follow the rules. And then I started smoking weed and pots, right? And then, you know, I was living highly unhealthy lifestyle.
I wonder if going through that somehow shaped to who you are now is that you saw how deep and dark things can go. So you appreciate how things can be. So you take care of yourself. And maybe we'll get there in this conversation. But it's interesting to see, like, here, I'm obviously the listeners can't see you. But looking at you, I mean, you're literally my personal trainer. Yet you came from a place where you're like, all right, I can't get with women. I'm not secure or confident in myself and who I am. So it's, people will look at you now, and here's this jacked dude who's got the accent. He, you know, he's sitting there walking around with his shoulders back and eyes forward. He's got a mission, and he must have always been like that. Your parents must have been rich, and you had everything you wanted, and that's your life because you have it now. And very few, except others who have suffered, will look at you and be like, I wonder what he went through to become this. I wonder what that crucible was like, that rite of passage. I wonder what the pain had to have been felt to get to the point where we can start to feel good. You know, that's something that if you're listening to this, not everyone is born with the perfect genetics and the perfect parents and the perfect economic status. Most of the people that are successful have gone through the flame. They walk through hell and then they're happy on the other side because they see how bad it can be. But getting back to you, so you find yourself going down a destructive path. You know, like most teens, you know, you're sitting there trying to find your place in the world. You dropped out of school. At what point did you start to turn things around? When did things start to get better?
Yeah, I still remember I was 23 years old when I hit a rock bottom. Something happened and I faced fear straightforward. I was really scared. Something happened during my nights out with my buddies at the time. That was like a turning out point for me that I decided to, that I had to change it. I needed a change. So I start cultivating new habits and a new lifestyle, new passions. Fitness and travels were the two biggest ones.
That was your critical turning point? That was what changed everything and put you on a new trajectory?
I would say so, yeah. Do I need to elaborate this? Do I need to tell you like what I've done? And
it's up to you.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, no. If you do, go for it. People listening to this are going to be like, what the fuck happened? Like, holy shit, for you to change your whole life, something bad or good or fucking crazy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can tell.
All right, so what was the critical turning point in your life?
I still remember I was 23 years old and long story short, I was hanging out with my buddies at the time. It was just a regular weekend night and we were smoking together, we were drinking, and I probably did the worst thing that you can do to yourself and mixing alcohol and drugs together. So that night I really faced fear and I was afraid to die, to be honest with you. I went home, I had a panic attack, I guess. That can be considered a panic attack. I couldn't sleep, my heart was pounding. So I was afraid to die that night. Luckily I had that moment that where I realized that I needed to change and I needed a turning point.
That's crazy, man. Can you imagine sitting, I mean, you can imagine it. I'm kind of talking like to the listener here. Imagine sitting there thinking you're going to die. And all of a sudden you're looking at like, how did I get to this? Like, how am I at the point where I literally took all these actions to now I'm in my room thinking I'm going to die? Like, that's crazy. I mean, and you made it happen. You decided to take these actions, to live this lifestyle and now you're on the brink of like insanity.
You know what? I also say that things like that happens, I would say, all the time to people that use drugs and they have this type of lifestyle. But it was me that interpreted that night, that event, so bad that made me change my life. You know what I mean? It was me interpreting that it was a sign from my body that I had to change. Otherwise, like sooner or later, I was probably going to die, maybe years later if I kept going.
Now, that was at 23 years old, and you moved from Italy to Canada at 26. When did you start preparing to move? And what were you doing? Like, were you working? Were you still at home?
So from 23 to 26 years old, I would say that those 3 years, they were very intense, and they were probably the most important years of my life back then. I start taking care of my body, first of all. I start going to the gym. I start hanging out with different people, right? So there was a buddy of mine. He was going to the gym, so he had a good impact on me. I start going to the gym. I start traveling, so I start opening my mind. I was just replacing bad habits with good ones, starting reading book, all this type of stuff. I start studying.
How did you decide on where you were going to move to?
In those 3 years, I was going abroad a lot. I'll be honest with you. I really like London, UK, and the Anglo-Saxon culture. English was still a barrier for me, so I decided that I needed to learn English first. I always took opportunity to study the language abroad, and then gradually transitioned me in a place where I wanted to do that more often. So Italy was becoming like a place where I wasn't happy.
It's holding place, back.
Yeah, a place where the mindset was very different from mine, from my new person.
So why didn't you move to London?
Well, no, London was just one of the many trips that I took when I was still in Europe. So I went to London to study English. I traveled like Northern Europe. I really like Scandinavian countries. And I was just like, for me, going abroad was like escaping from Italy and kind of like denying my past. Like, I was angry with Italy and like being home, so I was always looking for the opportunity to go abroad and practice English, like working on myself, and to the point that I decided to go to Canada for a whole month. I just went to school for a whole month, and then I came back to Italy. So I was still living in Italy, but my life back then was just studying English, studying exercise science, because I became more passionate about the topic. I was going to work, and that's it. And was sleeping and taking care of my diet. So I was very disciplined. I still remember people making fun of me at lunchtime at work. I was going back into the car, just reading my books, studying English, and listening to BBC in English, and then just go back to work. After work, going to the gym, 5:30 p.m. Just like, I used to have a 9-to-5 job, really, really, really basic. I used to work in a factory of furniture. So I was working, studying, training, working out, taking care of my diet, doing therapy, self-development 100%.
That's incredible, man. You know, I had the question of like, how did you start? But this blew that out of the water. People, again, have to appreciate the reps that go in that people don't see. You know, nobody's going to see you now. They're going to assume you've always spoken English. They're not going to see you sitting in a car and studying books and listening to a radio channel that you don't even know what's coming out of it half the time, you know, but that's important. That's incredible that you're able to experience that. I think something also about European culture compared to American is you guys go to like country to country to country, different languages, different traditions, you know, different everything, different money. In America, there's different accents, but it's all English, and there's different states, but it's all US dollar. You know, it's a different kind of experience. And I wouldn't say envy. I really appreciate that aspect of it. And that's something that at some point I would like to start getting my family over there to see, like, look how different people can be. You know, look, their cultures, their gods, their architecture, you know, humanity is so diverse. And it's pretty cool that I think over there, it's almost more expected that you learn these different cultures and you go and you see them and you live them, you walk the streets. Where in America, it's more, this is your town and you hang out here and maybe you go on a trip over there, but that's it. You know, it's not about immersing in the culture, like, you know, Mississippi compared to Rhode Island or something like that. You know, that's not something we really do. So it's pretty cool.
I would say it's very exciting. Like, that's what I miss about Europe and Italy, like the history. The first thing that I realized and caught my attention when I moved to Canada was like, okay, where's the history? Where's the old town? Where's stuff to see, right? There's nothing, basically. Yeah, again, I learned how to appreciate history and Italy and Europe in general, the diversity of the countries when I moved out, when I was like mile away.
Yep. Now, it's funny how that works. You know, you don't like it until it's gone. You know, you don't appreciate it till you're out, but I think that's a part of life.
I regret it because to be honest with you, I didn't travel much. Italy itself, like I went to Rome once.
Rome's awesome. I've been to Rome, Naples, and a few other places. It is is pretty cool. When you went to Canada and you started working, did you start as a personal trainer and working in a gym? Like, what did you, when you first got here and you got a job, what were you doing?
What's going on, guys? This is Hunter Drew here. Wanted to drop you a quick line. I hope you're enjoying the episode with Luca. I hope you understand why I had him on the show. I wanted to remind you, he is an FOE man. So if you want to hang out with men that are of this caliber, men that have these types of stories that are getting after it, look into fraternityofexcellence.com. If you're not looking to find a group, but you're looking to just enjoy the podcast, make sure you're subscribed. Leave a review, you know, 5-star, do what you got to do. But if you're enjoying this, like I said, maybe share the word, let other men know, hey, we're having great discussions. We're doing things that are improving lives. You can take the advice that we have and you can apply it. So with that, you know, let's get back to the show and let's see, if, you know, what was he going to do once he came to Canada? You know, what was his game plan? All right, thanks for tuning in. Again, fraternityofexcellence.com. If you want to join men like this, we are engaging every day, as well as subscribe, leave a review, and spread the good word. Take care, gentlemen.
So when I first moved to Canada, I moved with a special visa that allows you to, it's called a working holiday visa, allow me to work and travel Canada for 6 months with a work permit. So I start working in a restaurant. I found a job after 3 days that I landed in Toronto. So I found my first job. I worked in that place for 1 week. After 1 week, I think I quit. I changed job right away and I found the job that was giving me the opportunity to stay longer. So they basically sponsored me. I found that the other job was in an Italian restaurant.
So that I worked makes in a sense. Of course it was.
And that was easy for me to be hired and be sponsored. Even though I have to say that I learned how to cook. I knew the basic of it, but I learned all the methods and like how you're supposed to cook your food in a restaurant, right? And I work in a restaurant for 3 years.
So I saw a few pictures on your Instagram, which is at Luca Logic Fit, with logic having a K instead of a C. And on there was a picture of you with like some foods and whatnot. Was that at that restaurant?
That was Gusto 101. That's the name of the restaurant that I worked for 3 years. Yeah, that was the place that I met a chef there that was an Italian chef, and we got along right away. He was a super cool dude. And he told me right away, like, listen, like we need people that wanted to work. And if you're showing me some consistency and values, like I'm gonna sponsor you, gonna offer you a work permit. So yeah, that was a Gusto 101, a great place.
That's awesome. And the photos are awesome too. So if you're not following on Instagram, Luca Logic with a K Fit, get on it. So you did the restaurant thing. You know, you learn how to cook, you're out there, you got the photos of being a fancy chef, you know, so how do you go from Chef Luca to Trainer Luca?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because when I start working in a restaurant, they offer me a sponsor for 3 years, and the work permit that I got was a closed work permit. So I wasn't allowed to quit the job and like go find something else. So I was forced to work in a restaurant for 3 years. In the meantime, I got the requirements to apply for for a permanent resident card. Long story short, when I got my permanent resident card, I was able to quit the restaurant and I was free to look for the job that I wanted to do. So after working for 3 years in a restaurant, I got my PR card, and then I gradually switched from a part-time job and I started working as a personal trainer part-time. So I was doing both. And then eventually I quit the restaurant for good. And then I started working full-time as a personal trainer.
Now, Logic Fitness is your brand, correct?
Yes, Logic Fitness is my brand. I work for quite a few companies in downtown Toronto, so I have a different experiences with one-on-one personal training. And 1.5 years ago, I I was able to open my own company, Logic Fitness Inc. Yeah, that's me.
Now, how did you go from, like, what gave you that hunger? Was it, you know, wanting to be in charge of your own schedule? Was it wanting to create your own gym? You know, what started the transition from just being a trainer at like Gold's Gym to being your own company? You know, maybe part-time you're working for that gym and part-time you're just doing your own thing. Where did that seed get planted?
Which is an easy process. Like, I couldn't do these at all in Italy.
So Logic Fitness Inc. is your brand. How did you go about creating that? You know, what was the driving force? Did you always know you're going to be an entrepreneur and own your own time? Or is it kind of just something that happened?
I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't planning to be an entrepreneur. I always had the employee mindset. And that's something that happened a year back, almost like 1.5 years back. I had this great opportunity to have a bunch of clients, personal training clients on my own. So I got really busy. And then I decided to open a corporation. So it was pretty easy, also considering that Canada is a good place to open your own business compared to Italy. I think that I couldn't have done this in Italy at all.
Why is that?
There's not like much opportunity for young generation, especially in the fitness industry. I would say it's really hard, and it's not doable.
It's interesting. So, you know, it's one of the things we take for granted is. For me to start an LLC, I just went online, plugged a few things, paid whatever fee, and then boom, it shows up.
Yeah, it's easy to do it here. I couldn't realize it.
Sorry, I told them earlier on, yeah. You know, you're my personal trainer and nutritionist. How do we get to that point? You know, you've got the app, you've got the program, you sent it over. I've been going through it for a month now. You know, I'm seeing results, you know, losing weight, tightening things up, getting stronger. What's your philosophy behind fitness? You know, when you build this and you create your program, you know, people who coming to Logic Fitness Inc., because people listening to this, they want to lose weight. You know, they want to get stronger. They want these things as well. A lot of times they base their decision on who trains them off of, you know, what is that person like? You know, what's their philosophy? What's their angle? So what would you say is your philosophy when approaching fitness and when you're dealing with like people such as myself who want to improve their lives?
So first of all, I want to say that I start my fitness career as specializing in one-on-one personal training. So online training was always something that was like against my philosophy. But then as I evolved, I realized that I wanted to reach out to more people, have a bigger impact, and also make my business more scalable, right? Without living at the gym 24/7. So I decided to launch my online service, and it's going well. It's a completely different approach to fitness because you don't see the client in person. I think it's a different service than one-on-one personal training. So I would define my exercise philosophy under HIIT, which means high intensity training. It's very different from HIIT. So people often misunderstand the two words. One stands for high intensity training. The other one is high intensity interval training, which is a form of intense cardio. So my expertise is my philosophy on training and high intensity training would be based on the quality of the effort versus the quantity, right? So emphasizing form and technique, and I always want to deliver the best results in the minimum time invested. So it's a form of training focused on intensity and efficiency.
So instead of sitting in the gym for 2 hours, doing the right exercises for 30 minutes. You know,
correct.
5 minutes of the proper form instead of just hanging out and checking your phone and doing, you know, 500 sets of two.
Yeah, exactly. So optimizing the form and technique, you can optimize the time under tension, and the demand placed on the muscles, basically. So you also have better results. And form and technique is very important to learn how to work out safely, first of all, and not using momentum. Pay attention of your form constantly, your posture, right? If you're able to train with a good quality form, also your results will be very different than do 100 sets using momentum and not optimizing muscle tension.
You said posture, which is interesting because my grandmother, she was very strict on posture. Like if we slouched to the table, she'd slap us in the back of the head. So I think posture is one of the biggest areas people could be working on. And I think, you know, at some point, we really are just going to start seeing people with like looking like they have scoliosis, like everybody's just bent over and hunched over their phone. It's like you have to really do the push and the pull to balance yourself
Yeah, when I see people slouching over it, it's something that like I can't stand. I would like to go there and say, dude, just stand up straight.
I get tackled.
So, yeah, I think like it's a matter of a lot of people work on they have a desk job, so they're forced to a bad posture, right? And they develop just a bad habit. Thank God they did a standing desk right now. That helps a lot.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I realize we're falling down the fitness rabbit hole right now, and we're going to save that for another podcast. Maybe we'll do a Q&A. People can get your insights on their goals and whatnot. So let's bring it back to you, because this episode's on who is Luca Nicoli. The next one, I've noticed your Instagram and Twitter have really come alive recently. And I was looking at your website prior to us coming on to have the conversation. And, you know, you're kind of revamping that. So what are your goals? I mean, it seems like you're really starting to make a push on this front. Where are we going here? You know, you're just trying to get a presence. You're trying to grow something. You know, what's the goal?
Right. So I just realized that again, I want to make my business more scalable. I want to be able to reach out to more people and just like help them with their fitness goals. Right. Basically, what I care the most is like changing the body composition, make people lose fat, build muscles, and just like be more efficient, feel better with themselves physically, mentally. It's a holistic approach of fitness, if we can say that.
What I've really liked is a lot of trainers, they push this like one message, and anything outside that message is wrong. But it's almost like they're a robot, and all you see is like this little fitness robot, kind of like Ben Stiller and like heavyweights, where like that's their whole life. But in yours, it's like it's more of a story. It's like, all right, here's where I came from. And fitness is a part of you, and fitness is literally your livelihood, but it's not all of Luca. And that is what I really, really enjoy, is because I, you know, even with working with you, we'll talk about fitness, but we also talk about like how in life fitness plays a role. It's not the entirety of life. It's a role that's in life.
It's something that I'm learning to do because I'm not used to share my own life, right? My expertise is, and what I love is fitness, nutrition. I would love to talk about fitness, nutrition 100% of the time, but also I believe that people would be bored. People want to know who you are, where you're from. And so I'm making an effort to provide that type of content as well, which is fun. Like in the beginning, I was like stuck in my head. Okay, so what do I post now that it's not about fitness?
Right? A lot of people struggle with balancing the many different things in their life. Are you dating? Are you married? You know, what do you have going on? Are you able to balance that with work? Is it work 24/7? How's that working out for you?
Good question. I'm in a beautiful long-term relationship for 3.5 years.
Nice.
Yeah, my girlfriend, she's an Asian Canadian. Yeah, we live together. We actually get along pretty well. We never really had like big issues, big fights with each other. And sometimes I ask myself, is it normal? Should I have more fights with my girlfriend?
Or what? You're going to start causing problems just to be like everybody else? No, man, keep doing what you're doing. It's working.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with each other. We're not thinking about marriage or anything. Like, I don't like having a deadline of, you know, we see all our friends, especially Lisa's friends, my partner, they're all getting married, having kids, and it's good for them, right? But I'm taking my time. Like, I'm not rushing things. And yeah, actually, I had a rule in mind that I wait until like 5 years at least, right, before considering to marry my woman.
Hey, that's a good
that's a vetting process that I have.
No, it's all good. Jack and I dated for 5 years before we got married, so I dig it. It's a good number. So I have to ask, you know, and to start wrapping this one up first, do you ever think you'll leave the fitness industry?
As of now, no. It's something that I love. It's me. Like, I wake up in the morning, I don't feel like going to work, like most of the times. Yeah, I love it. I love when people want to put into work. It's something that I want to do for the rest of my life. If I'm going to change my mind, I don't know, maybe. But for now, I'm happy.
Cool. You're always like, for training me, what are your goals? What do you want to do? How do you want to get there? What are you willing to do? You know, you ask me this all the time, and then that's how we built our program. So what about, let's flip the tables for a minute. What are your goals? You know, not for the business, but for Luca. certain achievements, certain places you want to visit, you know, certain accomplishments. You know, we met down in Colorado for the FOE event, and you're talking about like, look, I'm ready to go. You know, like I've got these ideas, I'm ready to implement them. So what are the goals that you have for you?
My goal is making my own business as efficient as possible. That's why I'm going down the path of online coaching and eventually creating more digital products and fitness programs, basically. I also want to be able to generally helping more men and people. And yeah, like I mostly work with men to become healthier, become a better version of themselves, and make them realize that they can achieve whatever they want. Because I was in a bad place before. I was in a completely different reality, and I was able to drastically change my life around. So everything is doable. Everything is possible if you just really believe in it.
Now, if people go to logicfitnessinc.com with a K in the logic, they can find the different tiers that you're offering.
Yeah, that's my website. It's still a work in process with that. It's getting better and better. That's my website. I also have an Instagram account, LucaLogicFit, and I have a Twitter account, same name, LucaLogicFit. I have a LinkedIn account as well.
Luca, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. That was exciting.
I hope you enjoyed your first podcast. For anybody listening, if you enjoyed the chat, if you'd like to know more about his philosophy or what it is that he's offering, I've got links below. So you'll see that. But Luca, you delivered well, man. Next time, like I said, we'll focus on your area of expertise and get some questions about fitness and things that people could be doing better. Maybe some of the mistakes you're seeing that people are making.
I'm looking forward for it.
All right. Take care. For everybody who tuned in, thanks for listening. This is Hunter Drew with the Family Alpha Podcast.